And I was praying. I says, God, yes, we know that story, but bring to me forth in a different way that we might understand it in a different way, that we see a new, fresh revelation through the scripture this morning. So we look at the Luke chapter 15. If I want to give you just a I want to end up with this teaching of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, the parable of the lost son this morning. And that will be my last series, the last sermon on the teachings of Jesus. So it comes to this point of the text that I want to bring to you. In Luke 15, you will see in a nutshell what it tells us that is being lost. There's three parables there, a nature of repentance, the character of God, and the art of joy and celebration. We see all that in Luke chapter 15. This text is full of richness. It's full of meat. There's a time you can preach this for months and months on the Gospel of Luke and just chapter 15. There's so much good things about Luke chapter 15, about the parables that Jesus gives to disciples, that Jesus gives the stories to the Pharisee and the scribe. There's so much richness in there. There's so much meat in that. There's so much meat on that bone, you don't even know how to contain it. There's a lot of information about Luke chapter 15. And here's just a little glimpse that we're going to look at this morning. I don't want you to see the story as you've done in the past. I don't want you to see, I want you to get a vision of Jesus Christ through this morning, through this text this morning. I want you to see him for who he is, because he is the hero of the story. He is the primary character of the story this morning. And I want you to see Jesus in a way that you have never seen him before. So my prayer is that you be open-minded and hear what God has to tell us this morning. So Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32, we're going to read it all this morning. So I'm going to take out some key verses and some key words that I want to dissect this morning and just dig in, that we can bring out the character or the picture of Jesus Christ through this text this morning. I'm going to read Jesus in you. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off a distant country, and they squandered his wealth in the wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, how many of his father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still long off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. I love that word. Meanwhile, the other older son was in the field. When he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called out the servants and asked them what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed a fattened calf because he has been come back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered to his father, "Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You've never given me even a young goat so I can celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill a fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." This stage is found that I want to just to present today is found in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. It's a familiar scene that Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners. He's eating with tax collectors. There Jesus was with the unrighteous, meaning with the sinners and the tax collectors and the self-righteous, who were the Pharisees and the scribes. And lastly, the righteous, that was Jesus himself. We see three kind of individuals here. The unrighteous, the self-righteous, who people think about themselves, like the Pharisee and the scribes. And then we see Jesus, who is right, the righteous Lord. So in a nutshell, in Luke chapter 15, we see those three stories, three parables, and all has the same pattern. Something is lost, something is found, and they came up with joy and with the celebration. The third parable is just a little bit different, so I encourage you to read chapter 15 of Luke. You will see the three parables there, the lost coin, and you know that, the sheep, and then we see the lost son. We see the third parable is a little different than the others. It shows us all three these things in a greater degree. The first and the second is short. The third one is a bit longer. The third parable is a greater lost. It is not a sheep or a coin. Now, in a nutshell, a child has been lost. It's a greater recovery, and that's why there's a greater celebration. Amen? Can I change and have the cordless mic, please? Is that okay? Thank you. But what is interesting at the end of this here, it ends up in the same thing and ends up in Luke chapter 15, explains to us the same thing as Luke chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. He speaks to the unrighteous, he speaks to the self-righteous, and Jesus is bringing a point here in this parable here. So it's something extremely important that I want you to... So, 15 verses 11 and 12. This is how it starts off. Here it is. There was a father giving my share of the estate, so he divided his property. They're just going to give it, but there's a rejection. He says, son, you just want my stuff, but you don't want me. And at times, we are the same. We are the same. Lord, I want the miracle, but I don't want to spend time with you. I want a healing, but I don't want to spend time in relationship with you. It is the same thing. Think of that for a moment in verse 12. You know what, in a Greek word, so what did he do? He divided his property between them. The word property in the Greek word means life. The father was not dividing property. That was so easy for him to do. No, it was life. He divided his life, tearing apart his life, taking out his heart, that the son asked for the estate, that his heart was split open. Extreme pain. And some of us this morning has experienced that extreme pain, that separation, that hurt, that heart that was broken into pieces. And how do we deal with it? When the life, when your heart has been ripped apart into pieces. Am I the only one who feels that way? So his son leaves. He leaves his faith, leaves the family, and taking all the finances with him, and leaves the father. In verse 13, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, sent off from a distant country, and they squandered his wealth in wild living. Verse 14, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country and began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out of a citizen of the country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death." He took the money and he spent it on parties and prostitutes. He enjoyed his time. He went out and spent everything that this father has given. He went with everything. He went with sandals. He went with the ring. He went with the robe. He went and squandered all his money with prostitutes and had live parties and dancing every single night. And now he has nothing left. He is with the pigs. How many of us have received something from Jesus? And all of a sudden we end up, you have everything upon you, and we end up being into the world, and we come back with nothing. Zero. That's what happened to him. He received. But I want you to see something through this text today. The father there is not an earthly father. It is Jesus himself. Because fathers, if we say that many times an earthly father will see a son or a daughter go away, run away from the things of the law and the rules of regulation at home, and they're just upset, and then years they come back, the first thing the father is going to say, "Why did you do that?" But in this text, you don't see that. You see something the opposite. You see something different, and that is Jesus. And that is Jesus. The money was never going to be recovered. The father cannot go back and get it, so he used it for the evil purpose. We don't only have to see the brokenness of the heart of the son when he became poor, but picture the brokenness of the father's heart, the pain, the hurt that he was going through. It was a public shame that he brought to the community. He had lost everything. The father's heart was ripped into two pieces. And some of you know how it feels to have your heart broken into two pieces. A prodigal son, a prodigal daughter. For years and years, they're still lost. Your heart is not at rest. Your heart is broken. Your heart is in pain. Your heart is separated. You don't know how to deal with it. You don't even know if they're ever going to come back to Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So there is extreme pain into your life, ripped into two pieces. You know how it feels to have a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter who was far away from the things of God. In that moment, picture of it, the foolishness of a son, the total disrespect and rejection of the father. It is at that moment we see a picture of Jesus Christ. We see the shepherd who found the lost sheep was Jesus. You see the woman who found the lost coin is the picture of Christ. And the father who is waiting for the son is the picture of Jesus Christ. And it's seen unbelievable, the picture of Jesus Christ through this text. And I want to give it to you four pictures that I found in this text today. Four pictures of Jesus this morning I want to give you. The first one is a picture of us pursuing love. Don't you love that word? That love is always there. It says, when he came to his senses. So when he came to his senses, the first thing that has to happen before you're going to the Father, you must come to your senses. You will never see the Father if you don't come to your senses. Because once everything you're going and enjoying a party life and enjoying this kind of enjoyment and parties and all that stuff, you won't see God. But once you're in that hole, you will understand and you will come to your senses, and now you're going to see God in a different way. Many of us have been in those positions. We don't see God, but when we come to our senses and realize, wow, Lord, I definitely need you now. I'm in that hole. That's what happens to a lot of people. So this text is not just for that prodigal son. This text is for the unrighteous. It's for the self-righteous. We can be some self-righteous. We think of me, 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 me all the time. Or I. But we know that we serve a righteous Lord. A righteous Lord. It took extreme poverty and hunger to prompt the son to come to his senses and realize that he messed up. In reality, sometimes God has to put you in a position before you realize how foolish it is you to run away from God. You will only see or come to your senses when you're so deep in a hole. So he comes to himself and he rehearses his speech now. And this is what happens. He rehearses his speech. Father, I am not worthy to be your son. Is that true? I am not worthy to be your son? Isn't that the plan of the enemy? I'm not worthy to come back, Lord. I am not worthy to come back to your sanctuary, Lord. I'm not worthy to come into your house, Lord. And this is the guilt trip that comes in. This is the enemy when he comes and plays with the mind. Because at times people come in those in the things of God and they serve in the Lord. And then they go out and they do some things. They squander the money. They get stuck. And all of a sudden they're planning and they plan and they rehearse. Is when they come to church or they come back to God. Oh Lord, I'm not worthy. That's not true. That's the plan of the enemy that plays in your mind. He will not exclude you. He wants you to come in. He's telling you, come. He's telling you, come into my house. He's telling you, come and experience the joy and experience the love and experience the peace in your life. He's not telling you to walk away. So he doesn't say that. He plays and he rehearses. I'm not worthy to be your son. He's telling his father, find enough grace and I'm going to be your servant. And it happens to us. We're not good enough. You're messed up. And we start to rehearsal. If something happens to you and now the person is coming back to you, rehearse your speech and what you're going to say. No, the father was actually waiting for the son. That's what the scripture says. The father was waiting for the son that one day he will come home and the joy of coming home. He is coming home, will overlook the pain, will overlook that heart pain and that division of that heart, the separation that he knows that that son is coming home. You can have pain for years and years and years, but when you see a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter come to Jesus Christ as the personal Savior, all that pain is gone because there's celebration now because that son has come to the light. That son has come back to Jesus. You look at the women when they go give, pushing for a child. Oh, there's pain. And they say words that you can't even imagine. But when that child just comes out, they forgot the pain. So wives, you can have 15 children. Pain. But then, the child is there. There's no more pain. The joy overlooks the pain. It says, it was all worth it. But the pain of losing a prodigal son, the pain of losing a daughter that is in this world, it is devastating. But you know, when that day comes, that pain is overlooked. There's going to be some dancing. There's going to be some celebration. There's going to be some joy. There's going to be some food because a son has come home. Isn't that the best thing you want to hear? Don't you ever give up. That son or daughter will come home. You don't know how, but it will. Look at this. I'm going to be getting so excited here. The picture of Jesus pursuing love. Watch this. Verse 20. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, he saw his father and was filled. His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Watch this. He saw him from a distance. He saw him from a distance, and he ran to his son. Look at that. He ran to his son, the pursuing love, running towards the son. Isn't that an amazing God? He's not just sitting down and waiting for you. He sees you from a distance, and when he sees you coming towards him, he runs towards you and takes you and brings you back into the house of God. He ran to his son. Do we get that? It's a God who does not sleep. It is a Lord who's waiting for you to come to him. And when you come to your senses, he will run to you. He will run to you. He will call your direction because he wants you in. But our earthly father, if he's seeing his son come and knows that he squandered all the money, they close that door. But that picture is Jesus. It's not an earthly father right there. That is Jesus. He's demonstrating, he's showing us the picture of Jesus through this text. He ran to his son. Because if we're going to say that father is to apply for us, oh, fathers, we got to do that, we're going to fail. Because many times we have shut the door on our family members. But Jesus ran. He ran to his son. That's the Jesus you and I serve. The picture of the Father in this text is the picture of Jesus. And the Father was waiting and pursuing the Son with his love. And our Father has always had his arms open wide and wants to embrace you in his house. And I want to share with you a story about an earthly father. Now, this son was tired of receiving all the rules and regulation and says, Dad, I am tired of staying here. I'm tired of being in this house. I'm tired of being all these rules and regulations. I'm going to leave. So the son takes up some stuff and leaves the house. The father's heart broken into two pieces, destroyed. The hurt and the pain, the rejection. Why does my son have to leave? Why does my son have to leave the faith? Why does my son have to leave this home? But takes off. Years later, the son was being in a bus, and a young boy of 12 years old preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to this person. He accepted Jesus into their heart and realized now, came to his senses, that he needs to go back to his father. Comes back, he writes a letter to his dad and says, Dad, I'm taking the train on this day here, and when I arrive, you know the tree that is in back of our home, because the train track was just going behind their house, he says, that tree, put a white ribbon on this tree, and I know if that white ribbon is there, you have welcomed me home. So the day has arrived. The train was getting closer to the house. The son gets out. He looks in the backyard. He sees no ribbons on that tree. Mind is going crazy. He says, my dad has rejected me. My dad has closed the doors on me. So he was curious and he went around the house. And he went to the front yard of the house. And he looks up on a tree. And he saw hundreds of white ribbon. And his dad, with his arms open wide, says, welcome home, son. That's the Jesus that you and I serve. Welcome home, son. Welcome home, daughter. He will not reject us. He's just waiting with his arms open for us to go in, into the house of God, where you can find peace, where you can find joy, where you can find hope is in the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you think of Jesus, do you think of him that way? The loving Lord, the one who has arms open wide. Bible tells us in Psalm 23, 6, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When he brings you into the house, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Listen, please. You may come back to your senses, but you will never come back to the Father unless you picture him as the one who's pursuing you, the one who loves you, the one his arms are open wide waiting for you and waiting for me this morning. He is whispering in your ear this morning, and he's telling you, I love you, and I want you to come in. I love you, daughter. I love you, son. Come in. I'm just waiting, and he's knocking at your heart this morning. In my prayers, and I beg of you, don't shut that door. Don't shut that door. Don't put something around your ear. Listen to the voice of the Lord this morning. He's whispering in your ear this morning. No matter what you have done, no matter what you said, no matter what you've done in the past, he's telling you, I love you, and I'm waiting for you. The moment you respond to that, the moment you come to your senses and know that he loves you, he will not walk towards you. He will run towards you and hold you tight. That is the Lord that you and I serve this morning. So the first one is a picture of his pursuing love. And the second thing is his picture of his extravagant grace. Look at this. And I won't read it all. But you know when he came back, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But Father said to the servants, quick, bring the best worthy to be called your son. So he says, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring Ephrath and calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the Son of Man was dead and is alive. Again, he was lost and found, so they began to celebrate. There's three things that he did. He said he didn't respond. He didn't even think of it. He didn't even rehearsal. He just said, quick, bring him that. Quick, bring him the best robe. Right away, that's the Father that you and I serve. Quick, you came to your senses. You came back. Quick, bring it. Remember, he went there with full of stuff. He came back empty. So why did the Father right there give him everything? Because he had nothing on. He came poor. You and I came to the Lord Jesus Christ with nothing. And he clothed us with his righteousness. He gave us the best. And he gave him the best. Now look at this here. It's extremely important when we look at the robe, when we look at the sandals, and we look at the ring. We look at three things that are very important here, and I want to just briefly go with you here. He says, bring forth the best robe and put it on. In having the best robe placed on him, the Father was telling the prodigal son, as well as all the observers in that position, as a son was being restored. He says, here you go. I'm putting you this robe. You're being restored again. And he says, put on his sandals on his feet. As the prodigal son returned without shoes is a sign of becoming extremely poor. So he says here, put on the best shoes and give him the best shoes for him into the house. And then that ring, the significance of that ring is a signet ring. Long ago, representing a ring to someone was a sign of great affection, and as a symbol of being placed in an office of authority among the rich was a sign of wealth. It was a sign of wealth. Everyone would know that which family he belonged to. So they put on this ring there, and he says, you're not going to be my servant. You're going to be my son. And I want everybody to know, all the community to know, that you belong to my family. That's why he gave him that ring. You belong to my house. I am not ashamed of you. And Jesus is not ashamed of you. He clothed you with his righteousness. And you are his child this morning. He's not ashamed of you. We see that the ring, a symbol of being placed in an office of authority. He gave him the best ring because he wanted everyone to know that he is mine. It's mine. It's my son. I treat him as my son. And I want everybody to know that he's my son. And I'm not going to treat you as my servant, but as my child.
That's called extravagant grace. That's exactly what Christ has done for you and for me. And we just said it before, and he clothed ourselves in righteousness in Isaiah 61:10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in the robe of righteousness. Jesus clothes us with his righteousness. And how can that be? How can he clothe us with his righteousness? Jesus shed his blood on the cross for you and I. Jesus does not see your past. Jesus sees our present, your reality in Christ. He sees your future, that he will always be my child. So extravagant grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus towards the Son. It's the same thing, his extravagant grace towards you and I this morning. The third picture is not holding anything back. Not holding anything back. Here it is, look at this. For the Son of Man was dead and is alive, so he lost and now he's found. So they began to what? Celebrate. Well, at times we forget to celebrate. When one son or a daughter comes to Christ, celebrate. Jesus is celebrating. There's an earthly celebration and there's a heavenly celebration. Celebrate. Rejoice. Do it now, because in heaven there is a lot of celebration. So if you come to church and you're not going to celebrate and you're going to be there and just sit and not celebrating, you're going to be uncomfortable in heaven, because there's going to be some dancing. There's going to be some singing. There's going to be some movement, because the Bible tells us to celebrate when one son comes to Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And we look like dead people when someone comes to Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God. Huh? Celebrate. Rejoice. Once was blind, now they see. They came to the senses. Isn't that good? Wow. I don't know. Is this a Pentecostal church? Celebrate! And you see in verse 6, they rejoiced. In verse 9, they rejoice. In verse 23, they celebrate. In verse 24, they celebrated, because that son came back home. In the same way, in Luke, it tells us, I tell you that there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Feasting at the table. God is the God of festivals. God loves celebrations. God commands us to celebrate. He tells us in Deuteronomy 16:10, then celebrate, he tells us. Then celebrate. He's not telling you, think about celebrating. No, celebrate. It's a command. Be excited, be joyful, rejoice, celebrate. We get that? Let me tell you something. If I'm going to tell you there's a celebration at the end of the service for something that we have done or achieved, we're going to go and we're going to celebrate. But we're going to have the same excitement when one son or one daughter comes to Jesus Christ, the personal Savior. Just celebrate. Rejoice, rejoice, get excited. Get excited. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us what? Rejoice and be glad in it. Every day is the day of rejoicing. Oh, but it's boring to rejoice. It's rejoicing to rejoice. No, let me tell you. Constant revelation, more celebration, more worship. So when you have this constant revelation through the scriptures of God, there's going to be more celebration and more worship. More excitement, more rejoicing in the house of God. I'm not saying this because I'm a person who's always happy, who's always jolly and jolly, jolly. No, I don't say that, because the Bible tells us that. That's the kingdom of God. In Romans 14:17, tells, for the kingdom of God is no matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. When the kingdom of God comes, there is joy in the house. New Hope Christian Assembly, this is a place of celebration. We want people to go to heaven. We don't want people to go to hell. I want people to come here in this church that will experience a little foretaste of heaven itself. A little foretaste. And when they touch a little foretaste, they want to be in heaven. We need to celebrate all the time. Picture God who is celebrating and feasting at the table for you and I. In Zephaniah 3:17, and it says, but we'll rejoice over you with singing. He's rejoicing with you. He's excited for you. He's dancing with you because a soul came to know Jesus Christ. Because you have entered into the house of God. Loud singing and dancing, picture Jesus that way. Singing and dancing, rejoicing, because he is glad that you are here with him. Church, let's rejoice when someone is actually rejoicing. Rejoice with them. Have fun. Be blessed. This is the house of God. It's not a place that's dead. It's alive. Christ is here. He wants us to celebrate. He wants us to rejoice. Don't walk like zombies. No. Just, oh no. Celebrate. Have fun. Enjoy the presence of God. If you have to do a move, just do a move. If you have to dance, just dance. If you have to shout, just shout, because that's going to be in heaven. It's not going to be, oh, look at that brother. Look at that sister. What is she doing? There's no time for that. There's going to be some celebration. And I'm going to be the front foot. I'm going to beat Aldrich. I'm going to be in front of him. And I'm going to dance. I'm going to push him out of the way. Aldrich, get out of the way. I'm going to show you how it's done. Because there's excitement. There's excitement in the house. When Jesus is in the house, there is excitement. I remember those times in the old day, Pentecostal days, the Sunday night services when someone came to Jesus. That place was rocking. One soul came to Jesus, and everybody stopped. The preaching stopped, and everybody is dancing. Woo! There was an excitement. But today, what he's telling us to do. You know why? This is pretty strong, but I tell you. Because at times we can act self-righteous. The Pharisee and the scribe were self-righteous. The other son was self-righteous. He cared about himself. Dad, you didn't even give me a small calf. Both were lost, not one. They were both lost. But one came to his senses. The other one didn't. So who's the one who gained? The one who came to his senses. The one who came to his senses and repented. And said, I'm not worthy. And he went back. And the father gave him everything. He went there with nothing. He left with a lot of stuff. He came back with poor and nothing. And then he clothed him with the best robe, with the best sandals, and the best ring. And that's what Christ is doing for us. We can come here with nothing. But I can tell you something. You don't have to leave this place with nothing. He can clothe you with his righteousness this morning. All you got to do is to ask and say, I come to my senses, Lord. Come in my life, Lord. I repent of my sins. And he will clothe you with his righteousness. That's the Lord that you and I serve today. Now, some of you may think, this guy is crazy. Why is it he's always yell? Because I'm excited. When God's word is being preached, there's excitement. It comes alive to us. We see Jesus through the scripture. Because I was once that lost person. You were once that lost person. And that day when you came to your senses and says, I repent of my sins. There was a celebration in heaven. Ooh, Audrey came to know Jesus. Excitement there was. And they celebrated. So church, this is a place of rejoicing. This is a place of celebration. This is not a funeral place. This is a home that is alive. Because Jesus is alive and he's here with us this morning. So celebrate! Celebrate and rejoice! Because this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be sad in it? No, be glad in it. be glad in it. Amen? And the last point that I want to bring with you this morning is a picture of Jesus with his arms open. Invitation. His arms open wide is an invitation. His arms open wide. This is him. He's like this. He's like this. He's like this towards us. He runs towards us and he tells us, come. I want to clothe you with his righteousness. Come. Don't you want to be clothed with the righteousness of God? Now you might say, Pastor, this message is not for me today. I'm not lost. I'm okay. I'm saved. Look at the self-righteous aspect of it. How many times we think about ourselves more than others? I don't want us to be like the other son and say, Pastor, why are you celebrating with this person here? I have a little bit of better moves than that person there. But why are you giving them $15 of Tim Horton coupons or gift card? But I did all the snow. Like, really? You hear a lot of this. I all the time. But rejoice when we give something. Rejoice when we lift up someone and say, Lord, I'm rejoicing. I'm rejoicing. I'm rejoicing with Raquel today. And when there's a place of rejoicing, when the praises go up, you know what comes down? The blessings come down. When the complaints go up, the disciplines come out. I just made that up. But when the blessings go up and the praises go up, the blessings come down. Self-righteous, huh? I've been that person. Pastor, I've been that person. I'm washing the carpet. Did you see? Pastor. And then the pastor's talking 20 minutes with the sister. Oh, you did a good job today. But what did she do? She didn't do nothing. I've been like that too. Self-righteous. We're human beings, huh? We all make those mistakes. But Lord, help us that every single one of us will come to our senses. We'll come to our senses and realize who God is. God has his arms open wide and always telling us to come. Come. Come in into the house of God. A picture of Jesus with an open invitation. Jesus, and it was seen, but in verses 29, 30, but he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. Look at the word he used, slaving for you. Been a rich little boy. Slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Don't we at times act that way? Yet you never gave me a young goat so I can celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, here it is, but when this son of yours, this son of yours has squandered, Dad, do you know your son what he did? He has squandered all your money, all the property, which you worked hard for years and years, the inheritance from your fathers and great fathers, and all of a sudden you gave him everything. He lost everything. You squandered everything, and now you have, look, can't you see what you're doing? And then sometimes, instead the father, he didn't react in a bad way. He didn't respond in rejecting his older son. He didn't do anything. But when his son of yours has squandered your property, where prostitutes came home, you killed a fattened cow for him. So the son, this son here, is exactly like the Pharisees of all the self-righteous, the ungodly, as you said. But the ungodly, and he says self-righteous, he cared about himself, but nothing else. He didn't want to know anything else. He says, look what just happened. You gave him everything. So he was worried about himself more than anything else. And at times, we are that way. We think about ourselves more than the person beside you. He's inviting you this morning. In the end of the story is both. The both brothers, like I said, were lost. But one had only realized it. The prodigal son came to his senses and recognized that he went astray. And Jesus, in his grace, invites us all to come in. All to come in. The unrighteous and the self-righteous. He invites them all. He does not exclude the Pharisees and the scribes. He invites them all to come in. He does not exclude the other son. He invites them all to come in. He does not exclude the one who has sinned yesterday. He invites you back in. He says, come in. I want to clothe you with the righteousness. Do we want to be clothed with his love, with his righteousness, with his grace, with his power? Don't you want to be clothed with the love of God upon your life? When you come in, he will give you the best. He will give you second hand or third hand. You won't have to go to Village du Valar. No, he'll give you the best. He give you everything the best. When he does something, he does it good. He's not going to give you a chicken that's missing the wing. He'll give you it all. He'll give you the whole chicken. Everything. That's the Lord that you and I serve. When you go, he gives you all. All of his righteousness upon your life. So this morning, when I look at this text that we read, I know that you said, I've heard this message. But I pray that you've seen Jesus through this text in a different way. The Father there is not an earthly Father. It is Jesus himself. And he's speaking to us this morning. Jesus in his grace invites you to all come in. Come in and experience what the kingdom of God has to offer you. That's what he's telling us. The question is this. Where are you? Are you like that prodigal son, lost far away from the heavenly Father? Are you outside of the Father's house, not having a good relationship with the Father because of pride or because of anger? Where are you today? I want to beg you, and I beg of you, don't be astray to the Father. Don't be astray to the Father. Christ wants to crown you with his righteousness. He wants to invite you in and shower you with his blessings. He wants to shower you with his love and his grace. And the only thing that you must do is to humble yourself and come into him. Come, they're unrighteous and the self-righteous. I beg of you to come in today and respond to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is here today. He's talking to you. He's whispering in your ear. And he's just telling you, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Just come to me. I want to clothe you with the love, with the righteousness of God. Let's all stand this morning. As the musicians will come forward, if Ulrich is here, I don't know if he's downstairs with the kids. But if the musicians come forward, and we just want to conclude with a song this morning. And I want you to reflect and ponder on the Word of God today. The parable of the lost son. Remember, they were both lost. Jesus came for the unrighteous, and he also came for the self-righteous. So examine your heart this morning and say, every eye closed, every head bowed for a moment. There's no, I don't want anybody to peek or anybody to look around. I just want you to focus and examine yourself. You might be saying to yourself, hey, maybe this is the first time I'm experiencing something like this. Maybe it's my emotions kicking in. But I can tell you one thing. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Jesus is speaking to you. All you got to do this morning is very simple. Come to your senses. Ask him to come into your life. Ask him. Your problems will not go away. I can guarantee you that. But he will give you the peace upon your heart. He will give you the peace upon your heart this morning. So this morning, every eye closed, every head bowed, and I want to just give a couple of applications before we just close the service this morning. I want to, if there's anyone here this morning that was really thinking about themselves, self-righteous, I. And you know that you have failed, you know that it was wrong how you were thinking. Saying, no, I shouldn't have been that way. I should have celebrated. I should have just rejoiced. I should have just celebrated and have fun and danced with the individuals, but instead I've complained. And if you're that person today, I ask if you want to be singing this song, just reflect on it and say, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to be self-righteous. I want to be right with you, Lord. I want to celebrate, Lord, as when someone celebrates with you, Lord. And also this morning, if you have never experienced the love of Christ, if you have never experienced Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, I encourage you to do so this morning. If you're here and you said, I've never experienced it, and I want to experience who this Lord is, who this Christ is. I am beaten, I'm hurt, I'm down. If you're that person today and you want to experience the love of Jesus Christ in your heart and salvation, I encourage you to raise up your hand. I want to pray for you this morning and say, I want to pray for you. If there's anyone here that needs to accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, say, Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you. Sing this song together and let this be prayer, your prayer this morning. To lead us in prayer this morning as we conclude this service this morning. Praise God.
Lord, as we look into Lord, as we look into your face, Lord, we see nothing but mercy and compassion. Lord, I think of a scripture that says, do you show contempt for the riches of God's patience, kindness, and tolerance, not knowing that God's kindness leads us towards repentance? And Lord, we just ask that you will continue to do a work in our hearts. Lord, we can shift from these parameters of self-righteousness to unrighteousness to so easily when we fall out of looking at you and looking at our own hearts and going into the flesh. Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. Help us to continue to realize that the cross is the reason we are forgiven. not because of our good works, not because of our practicing laws or regulations. It's the cross. And when we fix our eyes on you and the cross, Lord, we are always given your grace and mercy. And Lord, we just praise you. And Lord, when we see those come back, may we rejoice for your glory in Jesus' name. Bless the folks today, Lord, as we go our way. Thank you for this beautiful service. We have seen you, we have felt you, we've experienced you, and now, Lord, we must take this blessing and give it to those that you put into our life this week for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.